Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. Carol Southard is a pioneer. She doesn't look that old. In the field of smoking cessation, I mean, did you begin doing this with like covered wagons across the West?
Oh, I love you.
Are you that kind of pioneer? I don't know. She has published articles and chapters for textbooks, presented numerous workshops and seminars for health professionals, as well as for community groups on smoking cessation throughout the nation, as well as in the Chicago area, and as well as in Vietnam.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah,
that was.
You served on an expert panel in the Illinois Academy of Family Physicians and the Academy of Pediatrics and Northwestern University and on and on and on with your credits.
Yes.
You're here, though, because you said, and I want to not bury the lead, and we'll be talking in detail about COVID-19, SARS coronavirus 2, mm-hmm. which causes that, with Dr. Richard Novak. He is the head of the Moderna trial. Mm-hmm. He'll be here in about 20 minutes or so.
Great.
That's very important information we need, because there's so much misinformation and disinformation.
Tell me
out
about
there.
It.
Yeah, really. But you're here because I think I said it right when I said it earlier. If you're going to consider smoking, this year would be the year to do it, because talk about it. There's a relationship between COVID-19 and those who smoke.
Well, there are surveys coming out as early as June of last year showing that smokers had increased risk for not only contracting the disease, but if you get it, they have much worse outcomes. Cleveland, in June of this year, did the biggest trial so far.
Cleveland Clinic, sorry.
Did the biggest trial so far, showing that smokers indeed had twice the risk of, once they contracted COVID, of being hospitalized, and almost twice the death rate. So here's the bottom line with smoking and why I'm after 35 years of doing this, I'm still so passionate about it. Yes, I started when I was 9.
pioneering across the West.
It is still the most preventable cause of injury and death, bar none. Every year in this country, over 430,000 people die preventable deaths. And yet, it's rarely mentioned, as you and I were talking before we went on air. So as far as COVID's concerned, I actually thought, as soon as I learned about the virus and how it was transmitted, I thought, this is a perfect public health... Wait, that didn't sound right. Not that I want there to be a COVID virus going around, but I thought, this is the opportunity to let's get the word out to smokers. You're going to be at increased risk. We really didn't need surveys to show that. Learn how to quit. I don't want any smoker to quit out of fear, because that, in the long run, doesn't work.
Well, if you quit, you quit. What's the difference? Motivation is?
Oh, it's a huge difference. This is the most addictive substance known to humankind. It is harder to get off tobacco products than heroin, cocaine, or alcohol.
Really?
And yet, as I was saying to you before we went on air, there are fewer treatments for this than any other addiction. It's rarely mentioned. Smokers are judged. It's become a moral issue instead of a medical issue. One of my heroes in the field, Dr. Michael Fiore, who's out of the University of Wisconsin, wrote the guidelines for the government, which haven't even been updated to 2008, because there's no funding for this field anymore. He used to say, if we treated any other chronic disease the way we treat smokers, all of us would be sued out of practice. The NIH has done surveys that show less than 8% of smokers are offered any kind of treatment. And what makes me so angry about that is, we know how to help people quit.
Is that because government makes money, including tax dollars, off of the sales?
Of course. I've become very cynical. The tobacco companies remain the strongest lobby in the world. In the world. They are in total control. I could go back and start talking about the settlement case and how they made sure it was state by state, and it was never mandated that the settlement money should be spent in prevention and treatment. Illinois spent the money we got in road repair and tax refunds. I actually tore mine up, which was very difficult to do. It's an ignored topic.
Say that again. So Illinois.
So this, and Illinois is not alone.
Spends
no,
the
it's
money.
Not allegedly. Only six states, when the settlement money, remember that huge settlement?
Yes.
Only six states in this country spent money on prevention and education and treatment.
And what did Illinois spend the money on?
On road repair. And they gave Illinois citizens a tax refund. I think mine was $200 and some. And I tore it up, which was really difficult.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
What I always say, even if people don't care about the moral issues, because this is moral. I mean, going back to COVID, if this didn't show the inequities of our healthcare system, highlighted, nothing did. The inequities, where are most people suffering the most, is the low income, the low educated, the most vulnerable of our populations. And guess what? Those are the populations that are smoking the most.
Why is that? So here's what I've wondered about, Carol. And then we'll take a break. And I want to talk about, okay, if you're smoking, how to stop. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about the relationship, which we touched on, and then we veered off. But that's okay. It's interesting. No, it's fine. Between the relationship between COVID and smoking. But
yes,
just walking here today,
yes,
down Michigan Avenue, I see a homeless dude. He's homeless. He's got nothing, but he's got a cigarette.
I know.
And he spent money, probably, getting that cigarette. So I just kind of don't understand the need there. Am I missing something?
Oh, yes, you are. Nicotine. The tobacco companies discovered the addictive properties of nicotine long before the healthcare community did, and they've used it to their advantage. Every tobacco, you pick a tobacco plant out of a field, there's nicotine in it. That's why from the beginning of time when tobacco was used, it was addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So the tobacco companies keep putting more and more nicotine in. There's more nicotine in the products than ever before. It's harder to stop now than ever before. One thing the price increased cost of cigarettes did, and by the way, Chicago has the highest cost of smoking of cigarette packs, and than any other state in the any other city in the country, including New York City.
Taxes, is that?
It's about $18 a pack right now around here, but if you go over to Indiana, it's a lot less expensive. It's a tobacco growing state. But here's what the tobacco companies do: they subsidize the mom and pop shops in low income areas, so the cigarettes are not as expensive in lower income areas. And Lucy's are sold; they're not legal.
Who?
They're Loosies. The vendor will open up the pack and sell a cigarette or two for 50 cents or a dollar. And some of my clients in the low income areas here in Chicago will say it's like any drug now.
What I don't know what this is. Does that have to do with the new movie being the Ricardos? I don't think so. So what is this?
No, it's been around for a long, long time because cigarettes are so, but you know, the tobacco companies also make sure that low-income areas are handed coupons to save money on buying their cigarettes. Makes me sound crazy. But so what's happening now, this is happening for a long time. In the city, when the city had funding, I did a lot of work with the Chicago Department of Public Health, which had a great tobacco program. They used to try and monitor stores who were selling cigarettes to people under age 18, which is illegal, but of course everyone's doing it, and opening up a pack of cigarettes and selling one or two cigarettes for 50 cents or a dollar, which is illegal, but no one's stopping them. So a client not too long ago said, I'm walking down my neighborhood, and he lived in a low-income area, mostly African-American, and a guy went by and said, hey, man, I know you smoke. 50 cents. Here's a cigarette.
So all right, a lot more to talk about.
Yes.
And I want to get back to COVID
okay. And
much more. We'll do that
okay. With
Carol Sothard and take your phone calls and or text 312-981-7200. I want to talk about motivation. You said it
I'd does, love to.
Yeah, I want to talk about that too, because okay. To me, anything that motivates you to stop is good. And if it's
yes.
The fear of getting COVID-19, but you say maybe not, and we'll talk about why. Trying. Well, maybe not. 222 on WGN. And next week, right here on the show, Robert Cool Bell of Cool and the Gang. Right now, we are talking about a very different topic, smoking and COVID-19. Carol Sothard is a registered nurse and expert and frustrated about all of this and says, absolutely, there's a relationship between COVID and smoking. I want you to talk a little more about that, but also you said the motivation doesn't matter. So I'm thinking let me finish my sentence and then explain, because I'm thinking that, okay, if I want to quit because I'm worried about getting COVID or getting it again, to me, that's, it doesn't matter why you want to quit, just quit.
So let me explain what I meant. If health risks, even before COVID, were reason enough to quit, nobody would be smoking right now. The jury's in. It is bad for you. It impacts every organ in the body negatively.
But COVID is a different new risk.
It's a definitely additional deadly risk. But again, like I said, before COVID, 430,000 people in this country are dying of preventable diseases. Lung cancer is the most lethal cancer for both men and women in this country. It's not the most diagnosed, but it's the most lethal, and it's probably the most preventable. anywhere from 89% to 90% of lung cancer cases are due to smoking.
But what about what about an increased number of lung cancer cases, and I know this is true, happening to people of all ages, including young people, who never touched a cigarette, a pipe, or anything?
Probably environmental. Genetics, remember, plays a huge part in everything, including if there's a genetic predisposition to addiction, such as nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
So if I used scare tactics to get people to even come see me, nobody would come see me.
So let me relate that to the vaccine mandates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing by what you just said, you're thinking mandates aren't going to work.
Oh, I'm absolutely for mandates.
Good.
And
okay. As am I.
I'm for anything that helps prevent any disease, which is why I'm so passionate about smoking cessation, about helping smokers quit before they get a disease.
Now, when I first heard about that term years ago, I thought it was sensation.
I know.
People would all get together and celebrate the fact they smoked. I don't think that's what happens.
No, I love being called a sensation expert, but I am a cessation expert.
What is that?
Well, I've been certified through the Lung Association on how to help people quit smoking using evidence-based guidelines. And that's why I say all the time, and I want to repeat this, if there's any smokers out there listening, even if you don't want to quit, learn how, because it's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself. Every organ in the body benefits by quitting. That's why I'm still so passionate about it. And the treatments are not being utilized. Our own government, if you look at our Surgeon General's website, talks about the dangers of smoking, but also talks about the medications that have been FDA approved that actually help smokers quit. They are woefully underutilized.
All right, so we've gotten several text questions, essentially all saying the same thing. How do I stop?
Okay. As with any addiction, you need treatment. I'm an absolute firm advocate for using the medications to help you quit. They do increase success rates. And then the bulk of my program is behavioral and cognitive, because if you're an addict, the physical is real, and I treat that. But if you're an addict, what is the hardest part of giving up the addiction is the psychological and the behavioral, the ritual that you've developed around this product. Now, part of the reason that smoking is so much harder to quit, any tobacco product is so much harder to quit than things like alcohol and heroin, is because smokers, ironically, can still, for the most part, function. You can still go to work. You can still have relations, even if your significant other is yelling at you, when are you going to quit? So I have so many clients who have addictions to other things, and they'll say, I've gotten to the point where I've looked at a bottle of alcohol and I thought, if I have one more, I'm going to die. I've never looked at a cigarette that way. That's what I hear my clients say, because it's a long-term result, ironically.
How about clients who begin to show signs? They begin coughing. They noted their voices changed.
Sure, sure.
They can't barely walk up a flight of stairs anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything.
Oh, of course. But what happens is they get judged. Here's the other thing. If someone's diagnosed with a smoking related disease, they're treated for the disease. They're not treated for the addiction, and they're probably being judged, and they're probably being told you should stop. And then the conversation ends. And our own government has verified that by doing nationwide surveys, less than 8% of smokers are offered any kind of treatment. That's abominable. So my thing is, don't wait till you get those symptoms.
Yeah.
And frankly, most smokers, I mean, I have, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I just started my 419th group, and which does make me feel very old. But most smokers.
You're a pioneer. It's okay.
There you go. That's right. Covered wagon. But, you know, I do have clients who say, but I run marathons. I feel fine. And I'll say, good. Just wait till you quit smoking and see how much better you're going to feel. Now, here's the bottom line, as with any addiction, and certainly this one. It takes at least 3 months for people to start to feel normal, no longer smoking. I never tell my clients, oh, it'll be fine. One day you'll stop wanting a cigarette. When you have an addiction, you have an addiction. What I'm trying to help them learn is how to control the behavior affiliated with that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my focus is. Like I said, behavioral and cognitive. So my group work is once a week for 8 weeks, because like with any intensive addiction treatment, you want follow-up, you want accountability, you want information. I talk about how to avoid weight gain, how to handle stress, how to handle other addictive properties, chemicals, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see people individually as well, using the same approach. You can learn how to quit even if you don't want to. But I want to clarify what you said. I absolutely tell my clients, look for motivations that are real. COVID is a huge motivation.
I would think so.
Pregnancy, fertility, having heart disease in the family, already been diagnosed with something. Use those things as a motivation. And this may sound strange, but don't make them the reason. I'll tell you why. I've had tons of clients who've come to me. They've just had a heart attack. They just found out they're pregnant or want to get pregnant. Once, if that's the only reason they're quitting, once that situation ends, it's so easy because it's human to say, oh, the baby's out. Just give me a cigarette, right? Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I feel so much better. I'm just going to have one cigarette to reward myself for not smoking 6 months after I had that heart attack.
Okay, so let's do two things here. Remind me what the chances are of if you get COVID and if you smoke, bad things will happen, including death.
Absolutely.
And that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. So the most recent large survey that was well done that I saw was the one I referred to earlier with the mm-hmm. Cleveland Clinic. And they looked at over 7,000 patients, and they found that smokers, even just one cigarette a day, were more than twice as likely to be hospitalized for COVID. And they had a greater chance of dying from COVID compared to people who didn't smoke who were hospitalized.
And I imagine if those people were over the age of 65, the numbers would increase more. If they have other comorbidities or medical issues, the numbers would increase more.
Absolutely. But here's what's interesting. If you look at the number of smokers, the percentage of smokers in this country, the CDC's the most recent data said that only 14% of people in this country smoke. I don't believe that. I think it's higher. Mm-hmm. But the highest percentage of smokers are younger ages.
That's interesting.
Which is fascinating.
Happening. Yeah, and not good. Not good.
No, exactly.
Carol, you are a wealth of information. Thank you. If people want to learn more about how to stop, how do they learn?
So right now, I'm working out of Swedish Covenant Hospital. Please go to swedishcovenant.org/classes, and you will see a listing of the classes they offer, including the smoking cessation program. We offer them 4 times a year. Swedish has been so supportive. Their foundation will support if it's, you know, if you're low income, mm-hmm. no questions asked. You pay $10, that's it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's only $150.
We'll put the link on our website, WGNradio.com, when we do
thank
the
you.
Podcast of this conversation, a great conversation.
Thank you.
Carol, thank you so much. Dr. Richard Novak, after the news, head of the Moderna trial.